Then the Maharal said, bring him a big bottle of strong mashke, strong whiskey. And it seems that this bum loved to drink whiskey, and he never had such good whiskey, and he drank up the whole bottle of whiskey. Okay. He starts falling asleep by the table because of all the food he ate and all the whiskey he drank. Now the Maharal says, okay, before he falls asleep, let's walk him over to the room of the Beis Din where the golem sleeps, where Yosef the golem sleeps. And he used to sleep, not in the Maharal's house, but in the room of the Beis Din in the shul, which is very near the Maharal's house. Okay, it wasn't the Sheamus. It was a room called the room of the Beis Din, and this is where the golem used to sleep. They go to the golem's bed, and they tell the golem, Yosef the golem is going to sleep in another house that night. And they took the golem's clothing, and he put on different clothes. He used to dress in a certain kind of a dress, a clothing, that everybody knew he was like a worker for the Beis Din, whatever this kind of a uniform looked like. Okay, the golem's clothing, they folded up next to the golem's bed, and the golem had different clothing. The golem left and went away to a different house to sleep. Then they bring in this drunk, homeless bum, and they put him in the golem's bed. Well, maybe they put pajamas on him, maybe not, but he was sleeping in the golem's bed. He falls asleep right away. Next to him is the golem's clothes, and he's sleeping in the golem's bed. And everybody leaves. In the middle of the night, this is something the Maharal knew what happened. This is why he did this. In the middle of the night, the policeman came around two houses. In the middle of the night, this is the way they used to do it. If somebody was suspected of a crime, they wouldn't arrest them just in the middle of the day. They would come to his house in the middle of the night, they would break down the door, or open the door, they would come in, and before the person could run away, they would arrest him and take him to the police station and put him in jail. They came around the house of Avram Chaim, they came to his house, and all of a sudden they come and they start smashing down the door, and they don't even say why, they just say you're under arrest, you're coming with us. They put him in chains, and Avram Chaim doesn't know what's happening. They bring him to the police station, you're under arrest. And now they come to the room of the Beis Din that they know that the servant of the Maharal sleeps. And they come in, they break down the door, they go in, and they say, okay, you're under arrest. And there's this bum sleeping there, completely shikker from all the mashke he drank and full of all the food he ate. And he's sleeping away in his bed, and they can't wake him up. They say, get up! You're under arrest! Get up! And he doesn't hear a thing. First of all, he's deaf. Second of all, he's sleeping and he's shikker. And they start shaking him, and they start shaking him and poking him, and he doesn't wake up, and they start getting, all of a sudden, they lit candles and everything. All of a sudden he looks around, and he sees all these policemen around him with guns, with rifles, with swords, knives, whatever they have, and he doesn't know what's going on, and he can't speak, and he gets all confused. And they say, okay, put on your clothes. You're coming with us to the police station. And of course, in the confusion, he doesn't see that they're not exactly his clothes. They put on now the golem's clothes on this bum. And now they put him in chains, and they take him to the police station. So they arrested Avram Chaim and some bum that looks like the golem, and they put them both in the police station. Now, the morning after, everybody in Prague was talking about it, at least the Jews were, because they found out that the two servants of the Maharal had been arrested and taken to jail. Now, nobody knew that the golem, nobody knew that this bum was instead of the golem, except the secret men that the Maharal had sent to get him. So everyone thought that Yasu and Avram Chaim, the two servants of the Maharal, had been locked up in jail. And they also knew why, because they found out the news that the daughter of Dr. Marici had said that the Jews used the blood of that servant who disappeared and who used to light the Jewish ovens on Shabbos. They used her blood, they made her a kapara and used her blood in the matzahs for Pesach. And everybody knew what had happened because the police had made a big thing about it. And everybody's mind was very afraid of what's going to happen. And they're also afraid that the Maharal is also going to get locked up in jail, because they heard what Dr. Marici's daughter said, that the Maharal was the one who sent Avraham Chaim and Yossel to get the money for the blood, because the Maharal, being the Rav, was in charge of the blood. And everybody was afraid. And the Maharal told everybody to go to the shul and say to Helen, the Jews are in big danger. The announcement came out that the big trial is going to be in 30 days. And at the trial, not only the Yossel Golan and not only Avraham Chaim, but there came an official letter from King Rudolph that the Maharal also had to be at the trial, and he was going to take the stand, and the judge was going to ask him questions. He was not under arrest, but he was going to have to be at the trial. The king at the time was named Rudolph. It is not the Rudolph who's the officer in the Haradik story that happened later. And now the Maharal has to think what to do to help the Yidden. Of course, they have to say Tehillim. And of course, there were different fast days and giving tzedakah and saying psukim and learning Torah and doing tshuva. Just like Purim time, and the Yidden in the Purim story had to do tshuva. Of course, but the Maharal thinks, what can I do to help? The Maharal now wanted to investigate, to find out everything he could about the servant who had disappeared. Because the whole thing of Tadus and Sara Marici using the blood is that they're saying it's the blood of the servant girl who disappeared as a korban, as a kapara for the Jews. What if she's still alive? Of course she's still alive. If the Maharal shows that she's still alive, can they say that the Jews used her blood for the matzahs? No. Of course not. So the Maharal has to find this girl. Now, after finding out from the family that she used to work for, where she might have gone, and asking a lot of questions, they did not know exactly where she lived. All they knew was there were two small villages and two little cities that were bigger than villages that were different places a few miles away from Prague. Four different towns. And it seemed that she was from one of these four towns, but nobody was sure from which one. So the Maharal called eight trustworthy men, and he sent two of them to each of these towns, and he said, you must find this girl, you must go through the streets or up and down wherever you can find people over there and ask questions, and find the girl that used to work for the family and light the ovens on Shabbos by the Jews and bring her here. And they left. Of course, they did the shlichus of the Maharal, and they went to these different places. And 12 days later, they all came back without any sign of the girl. They hadn't seen her, they knew nothing about her. In other words, nothing. After 12 days, nothing. And the Maharal was very upset. 3 days went by. How many days have gone by so far? 12 days went by, and then 3 more days went by, 15 days went by. Now, how many more days left till the trial? 15, because the trial was in 30 days. How much is 15 and 15? 30! Boy, did we learn math over here in this Maharal story and a great one. We're learning also math. It's very good. And now the Maharal calls in Yassel the Golem. And he says to her, Yassel the Golem, he asks him, do you know that girl that used to light the ovens on Shabbos for all the Yidden in the Jewish neighborhood? Now, the Golem did not say yes, he couldn't talk, but he nods his head like this. He knows who she is. He saw her before lighting the ovens by the Jews. The Maharal says, she lives in one of the four villages around Prague. You must find her, and you must bring her back, and it must be before the trial. She must be here, or else we have nothing to help us. Just everybody else is going to say their stories. Tavis is going to accuse, and Samarichi is going to say, is going to put on her tape in her head and start playing her tape as she's programmed, word for word, she's going to say that, and the judge is going to listen, and we're going to have nothing to help us, just to say no. But the judge is not going to believe us unless we have something. So the Maharal, this is what he did. He had a certain plan. He took a pen, or a feather and ink, and a paper, and he wrote a letter. And he pretended that this is being written not by the Maharal, but by the boss who used to be the boss of this girl when she worked by the family. And she said, dear so-and-so, whatever her name was, our wonderful girl who used to work for us and help our family. Of course, he wrote very nicely that she should want to come back. Now, it seems there was some kind of an argument between the father of the family, the boss, and the girl. And now the father of the family, of course the Maharal, is writing the letter like him. I'm so sorry that we got into an argument. You are the best helper and the best girl that we could hope to have. And I was wrong that I argued with you, and I raised my voice, and I wasn't nice, and I made you run away. So therefore, first of all, I'm apologizing, and I'm saying I'm sorry. And second of all, the whole family wants you to come back, to be back in our house, and to help us, and of course to light the Jewish ovens on the Shabbos. And first of all, I'm putting in money that you should be able to hire a special wagon, a nice comfortable wagon with fast horses, to come back to our house. And I'm sending a special messenger, his name is Yassel, and he will be the one to give you this letter and to come back with you and to hire the wagon and to make sure that you come right back as soon as you can. And there's extra money to buy yourself food and clothes and whatever you need. And there's extra money even for spending money if you want to buy candy or nosh or whatever you want to buy, and drinks or something, whatever you'd like. There's plenty of money in the envelope. Please come back. You're such a wonderful helper. And I'm sorry that I was not so nice to you. It's all my fault. I'm to blame. And you're wonderful. And then he signed the name of the boss. The Maharal was writing this letter, and he put everything in an envelope, and he gave it to the Golem. And he says, go now and find the girl and bring her back. And the Golem got dressed up in just regular clothes. Apparently he had a special set of clothes that he used to wear in Prague, and these were special clothes of a shamish of the Beis Din. He used to work for the Beis Din and work for the Maharal. So it seems like he had a special kind of a uniform. At night time, when nobody knew that he was going around at night, he dressed just like a goy. He probably wore some kind of a hat, but he dressed up in just like a peasant clothes. That's why the goyim were not sure if this man who came out of nowhere was a Jew or a goy, because he dressed up in just goyish clothes. And even though he had some kind of a small black beard, the goyim also could have a small black beard. So nobody knew that he was a Jew or a goy. was only toddlers that suspected that there was something fishy behind this man who could not talk, that showed up in the middle of the night. And when he found out that there was also a man who worked for the Maharal who couldn't talk and had a little black beard, he said, something is very fishy. And just around the same time that this man in the middle of the night comes out of nowhere, that's when this new servant comes to the house of the Maharal. Very interesting. And now the Maharal gives the golem food. He ate food. The golem ate food. Even though he was a golem, he ate food. He gave him food to go travel with. I don't know if he had a palace in Philip. I don't think he was a Jew. The golem was a Jew. Was he a goy? Well, he was a golem. I don't know if he was a goy, but he was a golem. A golem. Wasn't a Jewlem, he was a golem. Okay, anyway. The golem now goes. And the time also goes. The golem goes and the time goes. And 2 weeks passed. How many days is 2 weeks?
14 days.
14 days. Tomorrow is the trial, the 15th day. No sign of the golem. And the Maharal is getting very concerned. Of course, you must have the tachlin and rely on Hashem to help, even in the last second, but still, things don't look too good. But of course we know, trach good, that sign good. Think good, it'll be good. Think positive. Boys, the Maharal announced in shul that early in the morning of the trial, the next day, everyone should get up extra early. And they should say Tehillim. Now also, I forgot to tell you that the day before the trial, which was the day that we're talking about, was also a big fast day. Everyone fasted the day before the trial. That was announced before. The day of the trial, the Maharal said, at every shul, we even should say the whole Sefer Tehillim, like we say on Shabbos Mavorchim. And the Yidden gathered early in the mornings, in the shuls, they said the whole Tehillim, and they were crying and getting stuck in doing tshuva, because they were very afraid, what's going to happen, Chas HaShalom, if the judges believe Dr. Marici's daughter, the Jews use blood in the matzahs, again, Lila's dom, Eigevald, such trouble could come from it, and who knows what kind of trouble the Tadis could stir up amongst the goyim in the big green church, what's going to be. And now, Kimmelach, the trial is going to begin. There was a big building made out of big stones. This was the big courtroom, the trial building. And now the wagons start arriving, the judges come, and they're going to put on their black robes and their shakels that they used to wear, these special kinds of things the judges wore. And Tadus comes in a special wagon together with Sarah Marici. And she has that strange look in her face, like she's brainwashed, like she doesn't anymore think for herself. She is programmed completely according to what Tadus wants her to say. And of course now the Maharal comes together with Reb Mordechai Meisel that I told you he was the Parnas Chodesh. And the Maharal arrives in his wagon together with Reb Mordechai Meisel, the Parnas Chodesh of Prague, a very chashuv yid. And other people come, and the courtroom shows up with hundreds of people, if not thousands, and people are standing outside who couldn't get into the courtroom. Hundreds or thousands of people are standing outside. The yidn is saying Tehillim, and the goyim are talking what's going to be. And there's also troublemakers there waiting to see, if the judge is going to find the Jews ate matzah with what blood, so we can make trouble for the Jews. Let's get ready. And there's a lot of tension in the air. And of course, no sign of the servant girl and no sign of the goyim. And now the courtroom is filled with people, and the judges come out of their judge's chamber, and the judges come. Now it seems like there was more than one judge. There was the chief judge, and there were some other judges, and there's lawyers. And in this story, on the table of the judge was not a hammer made out of wood. It was a golden bell. And the judge now, the courtroom is very noisy. Right before the judges came out, there's everybody's talking, and all of a sudden the judges come out, and the people that saw the judges come out are quiet and they're standing up. Other people keep on talking and making noise, and they didn't see the judges come out. So the judge takes the golden bell and he rings the golden bell. It's very loud, and everyone is completely quiet. And the judge says, "Now we start the trial." First to the witness stand is Avraham Chaim, the servant of the Maharal, the older one. Please come forward. And Avraham Chaim comes forward to the stand. And the judge says, "Did you deliver blood to the house of Dr. Marici? And did you get money for that blood? And did you say that this blood is going to be used for the matzahs? And that this blood was given to you by the Maharal, the rabbi? Did you do this? Do you know of this?" And Avraham Chaim says, "Judge, I have no idea of any of this. I did not bring any blood. We did not have blood. We do not use blood on the matzahs. And this is completely something I don't know anything about, and it never happened." And the courtroom starts talking and talking, and the judge rings the golden bell. Now, the judge now calls, "I call the other servant of the Maharal. His name is Yossel. Please come to the stand." Now, of course, now, Avraham Chaim, I forgot to tell you, Avraham Chaim and who everybody thought was Yossel the Golem, but it was some bum, some homeless man that was found in the end of town, they were also brought in the police wagon in chains, locked up like prisoners because they'd been in jail for 30 days, and they came into the courtroom also, and they were sitting now in a special place over there with police guards, and now the judge calls the second servant of the Maharal. Now he just sits there. He doesn't come. Because of course he can't hear, I told you. Not only he was mute, that means he cannot talk, but he was deaf, he could not hear. And the judge says, "I call you to the stand, why aren't you coming?" Well, one of the lawyers came over and said, "Judge, he cannot hear. Therefore, we have to communicate with him, not through speaking, but through other ways, and therefore we prepared certain things to be able to ask him questions without having to speak. And also, he's not exactly so bright, so we have to ask him in a very simple way. They found him in jail for the last 30 days, but he's just not too smart at all. Certain things he knows, but a lot of things he just doesn't understand. So we have to do the best, and we prepared certain things that we'll be able to question him." The judge says, "Very good. Okay." The judge motions that he should come to take the seat. And this bum comes to take the seat. He's looking around. He doesn't understand where he is. He doesn't know what a trial is in a courtroom and a judge. He never was in such a place. And he doesn't know exactly what's going to happen. All he knows, he's looking around. There's a lot of people. And he's sitting down. You know, he's a very simple man. He knows how to eat, and he knows how to drink, and he likes mashke. But, you know, more than that, he just doesn't know too much. All right. The judge says to the lawyer, "We have to ask him about the blood, because he also came with the blood." And the lawyer says, "Well, we prepared, like, glass bottles, and we filled them with red kind of liquid that looks like blood." Okay. They brought now the bottles of stuff that looked like blood. And they bring it in front of the bum. Now, the bum looks at it. Now, he doesn't know that they're giving him bottles that is supposed to look like blood. What it really looks like is the kind of mashke that he ate, that he used to drink. He liked to drink. There's a certain kind of a mashke, like a whiskey that was reddish in color. And in fact, the night that he was in the Maharal's house, they gave him to drink this kind of mashke that he likes, like a cherry mashke. Mm-hmm. You ever saw by a simcha they have like a red mashke?
Yeah.
Well, the bum liked this kind of red mashke. All of a sudden, he doesn't understand where he is or what's supposed to happen, but he's thirsty, and he loves mashke for 30 days. You think they gave him mashke for 30 days in the jail? Of course not. They just gave him junky food, bread and water, whatever it was. All of a sudden, he sees some bottles of mashke, and he gets very excited. And he's pointing to the mashke. He wants to drink it, and he's pointing to his mouth. And now Tadas gets up, and he says, "See, this is the truth. This is the proof." He's showing that his blood, and he wants to eat the blood, and they had blood in the matzahs, and that's what he gave to Dr. Marici that night, and he's showing that this is the blood, so he's showing on himself that he's guilty because he brought blood to Dr. Marici's house, and you have to now send him to jail, and that shows that whatever saying is true, and what Dr. Marici said is true, because he's showing that he wants now the blood for the matzahs. Now, in the courtroom, a lot of people also didn't like Jews, and they start saying, yeah, he's guilty, put him in jail or send to the North Pole, trouble for all the Jews. Now, other people in the courtroom knew that this is a big Baba Meisel, and this is ridiculous, because all he looks like he wants to do is drink something, and they knew this kind of bum likes to drink whiskey and get chicker, because they saw them sometimes by the end of the town rolling around drinking whiskey. So the people said, it's ridiculous. He wants to drink this stuff. He doesn't know what it is. Nobody explained. It looks like blood. It looks like whiskey to him. That's all he wants. And now there's a big argument back and forth, and the lawyers trying to argue with Tadas, and Tadas arguing with the lawyer, and the judge takes the big golden bell, and he starts ringing the bell. Everyone's quiet down. Okay, tomorrow Mitzvah Shem will continue in the story. Now the lawyer brings a big knife. And the lawyer explains to the judge, they're going to try to figure out if this Yassel, who can't hear and can't talk, knows anything about killing the girl for the blood. If we can't use the jars of blood, we'll use a knife. After all, how is the girl killed to take the blood with a knife? So we're going to ask him about it. We're going to try to figure out, will he tell that he knows that the girl was killed with a knife? And of course, Tadas gets up and he says, and tell him that the Maharal is responsible for killing the girl because he's the rav and he's in charge of the matzahs and also the blood. And the lawyer says, well, we'll try to explain all of this to him using the knife and pointing to the Maharal. So now, the lawyer takes the knife and he goes over to the bum, the hobo, the homeless man they think is Yassel the Golem. And he takes the knife to his neck. Now, this is what they did in the courtroom. I must say right over here, are you ever allowed, even pretending, to lift up a knife to somebody?
No.
Even for fun. Now this is of course not the way to have fun. But to ever to lift up a knife, of course never for real to hurt somebody, chas v'shalom. But even for fun, you're not allowed to lift up a knife to somebody. And of course, this is not our way of having fun. But if it would ever happen that a person just pretending lifts up a knife, he's also not allowed to do that. And by the way, I personally do not like boys to have even toy knives or toy swords, unless it is Purim, or you have a costume with your parents' permission, for whatever reason, or you're in a play or something. Like bring the bows and arrows, as long as they're supervised. You know what I mean? Supervised means that somebody like your parents or somebody that's old enough to know how to use it correctly is watching over you. That's called supervised. That you just don't do it by yourself shooting. And not toy guns. Except maybe pulling, you have a cap gun and you're using it with your parents' permission. Only by the right places of like Haman ben Hamdasa or Agagi and all these things. Otherwise, no guns, and no swords, and no toy weapons and things like that, unless, you know, you're in a play or there's some real reason to do it, not just down to have fun. That's not the way to have fun. But in the courtroom, the lawyer lifted up the knife to the neck, and he pointed to the Maharal. And he's trying to tell him, do you know that the Maharal said to kill this girl, to shed this girl to get the blood? That's what he's trying to say. Now, all of a sudden, the bum looks at the knife, it's by his neck, and he's saying like this, shaking his head, no, no, no. So that looks like he's saying, no, 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 he doesn't know anything about Chas V'Shalom killing the girl with a knife. Now, the Jews' side over there, the Yidden, said, see, he doesn't know anything about killing a girl with a knife. And Tarlus gets up and he says, no, the opposite.